This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is a song. This is a mandolin. That's rock. Auckland. Oh, no, that's next month. I need you like a bully needs to boast. I need you like an ocean needs coast. I need you like a doggy needs a lamppost. I need you like a copper needs a crook. I need you like a cranny needs a nook. I need you like a lookalike needs somebody to look like. I need you like a zoo needs a giraffe. I need you like a psycho needs a path. I need you like King Arthur needed a table that was more than just a table for one. I need you like a novel needs a plot. I need you like the greedy need a lot. I need you like a hovel needs a certain level of grottiness to qualify. Like acne cream needs spottiness. I need you. Oh, yes, I do. Like a calendar needs a week. Like a colander needs a leak. Like humans need to seek out what life on Mars is. Like hospitals need vases. I need you like a kiwi needs a fruit. I need you like a wee-wee needs a root. Out of the body. I need you like naughty needed small ears. Just for the contrast. I need you like bone needs marrow. I need you like straight needs narrow. I need you like the broadest bean needs something else on the plate before it can participate. In what you might describe as a decent meal. I need you like a cappuccino needs froth. I need you like a candle needs a moth. If it's gonna burn its wings off.
Welcome to the third episode of Speak Easy, the show where we speak easy about poetry. My name is Elaine Foster, and joining me in the studio is Tina Carmelia.
Hello.
So today we're talking about the connections between poetry and comedy. Where there's been a rise in performance poetry events, there's also been an increase in stand-up comedy events. This parallel development is particularly true in Malaysia, with both mediums up until recently being relegated to the dark annals of the small open mic cafe or bar, but it's comedy that has been able to mainstream faster, gaining much larger audiences, with more and more comedians taking on the title of professional and actually getting paid to be funny. There's perhaps truth in the idea that people just prefer to be made to laugh, and that spoken word poetry can sometimes take itself way too seriously, leaving it less accessible and, well, less entertaining. But what happens when a comedian uses poetry in their set, or in fact, when a poet starts performing at stand-up gigs? The two mediums actually have a lot in common and they share a lot of history, and not just for their propensity to sometimes be funny. What can performance poets learn from stand-up's commercial success, and how does comedy exploit poetry to get a few more laughs. We just listened to a poem called A Declaration of Need by John Hegley. John Hegley is an English performance poet, comedian, musician, and writer, and that piece was written in his early days in his career back in the 1980s. Joining us now in the studio is also a stand-up comic, singer Hanan Aslan.
Thank you for having me, Lynn.
You have literally just come back off a tour, yes?
Kind of.
You got voted the most funniest person in the entire universe.
No, I won the Hong Kong International Comedy Competition last October. And this year, 2017, has been very good to me. I was performing in Hong Kong in January. February, March, I was in Singapore. I filmed something with MTV Asia there. I went to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. That was real fun. Really crushed my ego and took over my life for a bit.
Why did it crush your ego?
Oh, because you just have a lot of bad shows, yeah.
Right.
And a lot of tough audiences. But it's great. You need that.
I mean, you climbed the comedy ladder within a year. How did that happen? Where did it all start and where did it all go wrong?
It started by accident. My background is as a stage actor. I joined and then I was composing music for plays. I joined a song competition at KLPAC. It was called Short and Sweet. And it just so happens it ran at the same time as the stand-up competition.
Right.
So backstage, I would hang out with a couple of the stand-up comedians. One of them, Harish Ayu, who's wonderful and hilarious. We became very close and he told me I should try it. And I tried it. And then I tried it again. And then I tried it with music. And then that weekend, I opened for Hung Lee. I was a visiting headliner. And then since then, I've been doing it.
Describe the kind of comedy that you do.
Musical, completely. Yeah, a little bit more, a little bit risque. I'm still exploring. I'm still growing. I'm still learning.
I met you post Poetry Slam when we worked together.
Yeah.
And then you came to a storytelling event that I organized called The Big Fish.
Oh, yes.
And I remember seeing you there and playing your music and doing your special family brand of comedy. And it really reminded me of the type of things that John Hegley does, this kind of British style comedy that uses lyric and limerick and song and a lot of puns as well. Have you heard John Hegley stuff before?
Oh, yeah, because he showed it to me right before this interview, and it was great. I think I've seen one of his things when he was much older. I've been compared to Bo Burnham a lot.
Okay.
I don't really see it, but you said that you reminded me, I reminded you of John Hegley.
Yeah.
John Hegley reminds me of Bo Burnham, so I thought that was interesting.
So you come from a music background, but not a poetry writing background.
I was playing piano from the age of 5, and uke was self-taught. I wouldn't call myself a pro musician. I've been writing things, writing little songs, writing small, dumb lines. I don't know how to categorize myself.
What kind of things inspire you to write the songs or the jokes that you make?
Things that are happening in my life, things that frustrate me, things that make me angry, things that upset me, people that upset me.
We were actually just talking about that, how maybe people like John Hegley and Bo
Burnham,
right, there's a kind of meanness or an anger about them. Maybe that is a kind of an identifying characteristic to comedians.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, that's what comedy's for, to help you talk about things that are hard to talk about, I feel.
Do you think you could perform as one of your pieces?
That was a song I co-wrote with an owl.
That's brilliant.
Thank
round of
you.
Applause, Tina. I mean, is that funny? What's funny about that? Tina, do you think that's funny?
Wow. It's okay, Tina.
No, let's have this discussion. Is it funny?
It's not my kind of comedy.
Oh.
It's all right.
But you can take criticism, don't
burn.
You?
Yeah.
That's I didn't know you were going to do that, and we've got Isaac Seho later on in the show, and he does a similar thing with the reveal. It's, you don't really know what's happening, and then, the
punchline?
The punchline.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's kind of what made it funny. You got anything else you want to play for us?
I have a poem for you guys.
Okay, go ahead. Let's hear your poem.
This poem is actually in Bahasa Melayu. This poem is called Cinta Rempit. Thank you.
Oh, that's brilliant. How about that? That was funny. Totally understood that, because
the universal language.
That's what you do when you're in a coffee shop and you want to call a waiter over. right? Or that's what bad people do.
Apparently in South America, they use that as well.
It's cultural.
Casual.
Anyway, what's been the response? So like you said, you had some hard shows in Hong Kong. Is your brand of comedy, how does it sit with Hong Kongites?
Hong Kong was actually quite welcoming for the most part. The scene there, majority of the audience is for the English stand-up scene. They're expats or quote-unquote Western Asians. So like,
Singapore's like that too, no?
Singapore is a little bit more diverse. It's quite a mixed crowd. You can get a lot of local people as well. Malaysia as well, Philippines as well. Like, it's a mix. It's a good mix. It's a healthy mix, yeah, I feel. But Hong Kong was like mostly expatriates.
And how do you think they felt about you, your rudish jokes coming from a woman, you know?
Right.
It would be kind of confronting.
For the most part, they've enjoyed the contrast, I suppose. You know, how they perceive me, you know, to look like, and their expectations. And contrast always works, I guess, in stand-up. No, I haven't gotten much flack for being rude. I mean, it's a stand-up show. You wouldn't really, if you're easily offended,
it's
generally
you
wouldn't go to, yeah. I'm definitely not the rudest person on the lineup.
Cool. Coming up, we will hear more from Hanan. You're listening to Speak Easy on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Speak Easy. I'm Elaine Foster, and in the studio with me is Tina Carmelia. If you just joined us, we were speaking to Hanan Azlan, who is a comedian, a poet, and singer in Malaysia. Hanan, what makes a poem funny?
Whoa, that's a big question, because what is poetry?
Oh, yeah.
I think humor is subjective. You know, there's no right or wrong. What makes a poem funny? Self-awareness? I don't know. It's a big question, Elaine.
Like, if I look at like John Hegley's stuff, like we were speaking about earlier, the puns and the play on words. And poetry uses that a lot, not necessarily to comedic effect, but as part of the structure. In the same way that comedy does, would you say? Or
Yeah. Definitely.
Can you kind of describe a little to me about how you would set up a joke or how you...
I guess I'm a lot less traditional than most comedians because I write songs. And I guess for me, a lot of it is contrast, like we talked about that earlier, and unexpected turns. The fact that I sing and what I'm saying is compared to the way that I'm singing is already a contrast. And
how about we bring in someone else to support you?
Woo!
Yeah, Isaac is here. Isaac Siho, what's up, Isaac?
Hi, everyone. Well, I am currently a third-year engineering student.
Well, that's funny.
You have a
UCSI.
Real future.
Well, okay, yeah. Maybe. Maybe. Hopefully, I don't know.
Isaac, how did you come into poetry? I met you at the UCSI Slam, yes, a couple of years ago.
Actually, before that?
Really?
Yeah, I was there for the 2015...
It was a poetry slam.
Yeah.
So you're a poet.
You can call me that.
And would you consider your stuff funny?
Usually I write just serious poem. Like you said, poetry is usually more serious. But many times I just like to spice it up and add gimmicks to it and turn it into something funny.
Okay. Can you give us an example of the kind of funny poem that you're talking about?
Usually what I do in poetry, like what makes a poem funny is surprise, would be something that I use, element of surprise, or what my friend would call shock humor. Somehow people just get tickled by something unexpected.
Do you want to share one with us now?
Okay, so this poem is called Deforestation. I got on a train and sat down amongst the people, then looked out the window as the train moved out the station. I saw the city passing, tall buildings, the cars, the suits, the dull gray concrete and steel below, and the littered with briefcases and paper with pictures of faces and money symbols on them. And then I fell asleep before reaching my station. I awoke in an unfamiliar area as lush greens and colorful trees crossed the scene. How long was I asleep? Where is this beautiful place? I got off the train and read the sign, "Welcome to Deforestation."
Ba-da-boom.
Hey!
Hey, Hanan laughed. Yeah.
That's cute.
For a minute there, I thought you were really lulling us into this, like, you know, this kind of conventional landscape, you know, I'm in this mood. And then drop the joke.
Well, it's, as I said before, it's about surprise. It's about turning it into something you don't expect.
I remember you doing one at the UCSI Slam. I won't give away the name because it's a spoiler to the actual poem. Do you want to share that with us right now?
I don't like this. I don't want to do this, but I must. She's never done anything, but I must. Shivering in her terror. She can't get away, so we just stare into each other. She is prey. I grit my teeth and raise my knife. Then I thrust my strength into every cut, every slice. And I strip her of her shells, layer by layer, until her smooth skin is bare. I can feel the curves of that bod, my fingers to the points where I dare. It burns. It burns my eyes, this air filled with her flesh and strong odor, so raw, so fresh. I don't like this. I don't want to. But mama wants it. Mama wants me to. I hold my breath as tears stream down my flustered face and a disturbed frown. I don't like this. But there is no guilt, hands already stained. I don't like to cut. I don't like cutting onions.
Boom.
Oh my god, I zag. I didn't want to make sounds, and then it came out, and it was like a scream laugh.
So Hanan is less the poet, more the comedian, and Isaac more the poet, less the comedian.
Yeah.
What are some similarities, do you think, in the construction of the jokes of the reveal? Like,
poetry, like you said before, is kind of serious, and it has a certain structure and flow. So this is how I would describe poetry. So poetry comes from the heart. It is filled with emotions and feelings, full of blood and tears, and it keeps the writer alive. Comedy comes from the butt, made by twists and turns through the intestines, stuff that you don't really need to take seriously. You don't need to learn anything from.
Oh.
But something we're weirdly drawn to because of its unpredictability. Today, maybe it's brown and hard. Maybe tomorrow it's green and watery. Who knows? But later, then it can be dismissed by flushing down the toilet or blown in the wind. I'm not saying that comedy is not important. It's made of something tasty. It's made from something tasty, delicious and beautiful, something that we all enjoy. And then we can just massacre it with our teeth and then swallow it down.
Okay.
Hannah, you're not going to let him get away with that. Well,
I think that there's a misconception because you get a lot of comedians where it's purely entertainment. But then I've seen a lot of comedians where their art form, it's almost a form of social activism. Or of a way of talking and dealing with very, very serious things that and helps people to hear and helps people to digest things better.
I mean, I have to agree. What do you think, Isaac?
Well, that is actually true. I didn't see it that way before. I don't really use my comedic poetry
and that's where from your. So your approach to comedy would be more like lighthearted? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
because there is such a thing as satire and parody in both poetry and comedy. Which
be political.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to invite on another guest. Joining us now is Monty. Monty started comedy in 1989 in the south of England during a summer holiday. He met Logie. They both performed together until this day. They've written over 40 90-minute comedies. Monty also performs solo in stand-up and the open mic scene. Currently, he is embarking on a mission to train comedy writing for comedians through the creation of comedy writing community known as Laugh Garden. And that's how I met you. Welcome to the show, Monty.
Hi, Elaine. Hi. In fact, when the first time I met you was It was quite traumatic, actually.
Oh, God.
The poetry was traumatic.
I think it's always a trauma the first time people meet me, to be honest. And they never heal after that.
Oh. I agree.
Yeah, the meeting etched a deep cut into my heart and my memory that is so deep, I can never forget it.
So after our initial meeting, we were invited to this event that you were hosting, which is a comedy event, but you wanted to mix it up with different mediums, and poetry was one of them. What were your initial thoughts about that? How well do you think that event went?
First, I wasn't thinking when I was doing that. I said, okay, let's try something new. But one thing I liked about it at the end was I realized poetry can be funny. Because I was brought up in the wrong way about poetry, you know, it's boring.
There's no wrong or right way. It's okay.
Until last year, when the first time at the age of 25, I heard about comedy being heard and spoken. It sounds so different from what I was, you know, shown in the school days. So I thought, I don't want to do that anymore. And then I realized, hey, poetry is funny. It has a certain rhythm to it. It has a certain structure to it. And it can do things comedy cannot do. It is, you know, you have a rhythm. And you're allowed to use structure and words in a beautiful way and do a twist at the end and bring the joy of laughter there.
Well, what kind of comedy do you do?
In the face.
In the face.
In the face, direct.
One-liners or storytelling?
I'm still thinking what I should be at the moment. But with Logie, I will be a storyteller and acting. But on my own, I haven't decided whether I'm going to be a one-liner or a storytelling because both the structures are very different. Once you go one-liner, you can't move to story so easily. And if you go to story, suddenly change to one-liner, you kill yourself, you know. So I'm still debating.
I think the nature of comedy, because for a lot of us, it's very personal. Like, it really grows as we grow, I feel. Yeah. I've met people who've been doing it 40 years and they still say they still haven't completely 100% found their voice and they're still growing.
But so, yeah, you mentioned storytelling. I mean, again, another element, Isaac, you would agree, right? Which is so close to home to the poet. So the comic and the poet are using similar kind of devices, storytelling being one of them.
Yes.
The gimmick, the reveal,
Have
you guys heard of people like Spike Milligan or John Cooper Clarke? Even George Carlin?
Yes, of course. Spike Milligan, wow, that's a long time ago.
I mean, they're all poets, yeah, and musicians and comedians. So there's definitely a tradition within the comedy world of having poetry inside.
Yeah, I mean, I do music as well, but until I realize I'm bad.
So you're doing a workshop where you're going to teach comedy writing. How do you write a joke?
Okay, the comedy workshop is actually monthly, twice a month. It has to be regular. It has to be disciplined. How do you write a joke? A joke, well, there are rules to writing a joke. For example, one of the things I like is the threes. This one, I stole it from somewhere. Being Chinese, we are good at pirating. It's T-H-R-E-E-S. So the first thing is when you write a joke, when we look at a joke, we must say, is there a target, an issue that we need to deal with? And then the next thing, the H is hostility. Are we angry or do we have a fear against it? So then the R is real. Is it real? Without truth, comedy is not funny. So that's why comedy, we don't talk nonsense. We are serious people. And of course, E is exaggeration. You know, we exaggerate a little bit. We have to. And then the other E is emotions. You know, you act it out. And the last word, S, is surprise. That's like what's that guy name?
Isaac.
The one who just slaughtered us comedians, yeah? It's surprise. It's very important. So there are rules to writing comedy.
I think it really depends on your practice, lah. You know, I mean, everyone has their... And like, again, it's very personal, I think. I mean, for some people. But those are definitely helpful basic structures that help people get into it, though, yes.
Everybody has different writing styles. The idea of the trees is that if your humor do not have all the six, the chances of failure is high. But if you have all the six, probably you hit the 50 to 60% chance of killing in a joke. So
mathematical, man.
Yeah. Because we are Chinese, we are mathematically inclined. If you cannot measure it, you cannot improve. So we need to improve. So we need to measure comedy. Nick Coppin was saying that a good comedy must have 5 to 6 laughs per minute. So we do have a measuring method.
So exact.
That's considered good. So LPM. So we have a meter. Of course, on my side is if the joke in a minute didn't kill, I think we need to be able to measure. The other one is we'll have to look at potential punchlines. And that is when the joke fails, okay? So if the joke fails, we look at is there any potential in what he writes or not, or she writes? Then we work backwards, sir.
I agree with a lot of what Monty is saying, but that is quite a calculated approach, I feel. I think for some people it's more intuitive, more feeling-y, yeah, more hands-on. Yeah,
science and arts goes together in comedy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah,
that's true. I think the first part we teach is the science part, but once the comedian get the hang and discover their own voice, like you, then you can do whatever you want, and it becomes art, and you can just take it and do it. You know it works.
It's always the argument, isn't it, between the structured kind of traditionalist and then the freestyle, improv, just throw paint at the canvas kind of artist, you know?
Well, right? We're going to talk about improv. That's a whole other discussion,
Elaine. So, okay, is poetry the new comedy?
Okay.
It can be.
Poetry is something I'm including into the workshop as well, because it has a very relevant element inside there, because it helps the comedians to structure their mind. So I think it's going to be there. Elaine, whether you like it or not, you'll be one of the conductor.
The conductor for?
The for that particular portion where poetry and comedy comes together.
Oh, I'm the bridge. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Something okay. like that.
I guess for me, art forms can overlap, but I don't think poetry is the new comedy. I don't think it really works.
Dang, I thought
like that. I think
thought we were
entering the realm as long as the dinosaurs. Okay.
But you're biased, Hanan. Come on.
No, I feel like I'm not saying that one is better than the other.
Okay, maybe a guy who is more into the poetry than in the comedy should say something this time. Maybe poetry can be going up. I think a lot of people nowadays, especially in Malaysia now, the poetry scene is getting bigger now. So I think people do appreciate poetry nowadays a little more and more every month. Whether it will become more funny, to be honest, it's not very easy to make poetry funny.
Maybe that's the thing. Maybe, obviously, comedy success is because it's funny.
Yeah.
And maybe if poets want to be more commercially successful, perhaps they should dive more into comedy. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you to Isaac Siho. Thank you to Hanan Azlan. Thank you to Monty. But there's another thing that I have to get you to do. Before you guys came into the studio, we gave you a writing prompt. Was the prompt, Tina?
Use at least three of the given words below. Ice cream, airplane, public toilet, sliding door, escalator, drowning, Allen key, shoelace, prepared, plumber, and toxic.
And then I gave them the extra added challenge. They had to write something funny, of course. So when we come back after the break, we're going to hear those poems. You've been listening to Speakeasy on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Speakeasy. I'm Elaine Foster. With me in the studio is Tina. Yeah. Today we've been speaking to three comedian/poets, or rather, I think Monty's kind of adventure into poetry has just begun with the prompt today.
Okay.
So we've been talking to Monty, Hanan Azlan, and Isaac C. Ho. We gave them a poetry writing prompt, which was...
Use at least three of the given words below. Ice cream, airplane, public toilet, sliding door, escalator, drowning, Allen key, shoelace, prepared, plumber, and toxic.
I mean, that's a joke already, really, isn't it? You could have just written a list. Anyway, Monty, your first poem. Let's go, man.
My first poem in the entire 53 years of my life. Ice cream to me is a dream, till I felt shaving cream gushing down my lungs in the toilet of a plane, waking in scream.
Whoa. Okay, let's pretend it's one of those like poetry slam judging things. Tina, what was the score for that one?
I'll give that an 8.
8 for funniness?
Yeah.
And what about the poetry?
An 8.
Oh, congratulations! Yes. Okay, not a loser and not the worst poem yet.
You got a...
8
out of 10.
You got a new career option, Wendy.
Okay.
Hanan, we gave you the same prompt. What did you do with it?
Cool. So, I'm ready to fail, guys. All right. I was eating ice cream on an airplane, in the bathroom, and I was not prepared for a knock, knock, knock on the door. They said, "We need you in the cockpit right now." I said, "What's going on?" They said, "There's a problem with the plumbing, and we need your ice cream for the pilot right now." And I said, "No."
Good effort, good effort. Do you want to score that?
I'll give that a 9 and a 9.
Nice! Wow. See, it's all subjective. Whoa. Who cares what I think? I'm just kidding.
You're trying to be the comic here.
No, yeah, exactly. Haha, I kid you not. Isaac, can you beat Hanan's 9 and 9?
We're all winners, okay? Come
on. Yeah. God. Well, the prompt that I was given, I mean, my poem didn't include any of the words.
What?
I mean,
that was the only rule, Isaac.
I know.
You're disqualified.
Totally disqualified, but read your poem anyway.
Okay, I'm gonna. Right. I'm sorry. There once was a man on a plane whose bladder he couldn't contain. Now the plane has to land because he ate durians. Now he's not gonna do that again.
Ba-boom!
Durian?
Yeah, I know.
Really, Isaac? Durian?
This is the poetic license of stretching the rhyming, stretching the rhyming scheme.
Faham, faham, faham. I've been there.
Hey, but plane was on the list. You don't.
But it's only like one.
Oh, right.
So really, yeah. It's like a sixth.
Tina?
So comedy is maybe a 9.5.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Poetry, 0.
Isaac, time to get a new day job. New okay. Day job for you, bro.
I need to quit poetry and do comedy
now. So, guys, again, thank you so much. Before we go, please let the listeners know where they can contact you on social media.
Okay, guys, you can contact me at Manto or Monty on Facebook.
I'm Hanan Azlan, is my name.
Isaac?
And I'm Isaac, spelled with 2 A's and 1 S only.
Okay.
As Isaac Seho, S-E-H-O-O. Yeah, you just search that up on Facebook and you can find me. Also, I'll be doing, if you guys heard of Short and Sweet, I'll be there.
That's how Hanan made her fame.
Yeah.
That's how I met you, Isaac. It's how we became friends.
Yes.
Right. So, listeners, if you want to contact them, that's them. Also, if you want to respond to the prompt, please give yourself only 15 minutes because that's what we gave our guest today. So, no cheating. And giveaways. Today, Monty says he'll give away a free cup of coffee if someone comes to his writing workshop monthly, yes? Yeah. Tina, how can they get in touch, these budding poets and comedians?
Send us your attempt with the same writing prompt via email, or you can drop us a line on Facebook. Our email address is biggerpicture@bfm.my. Our Facebook page is BFM The Bigger Picture.
And if you want to contact me or get in touch with anything poetical and poetry, you can like Poetry Cafe KL on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Guys, again, thank you for being here. That's all we have time for this episode. If you missed any part of this interview, you can download the podcast on the BFM app, available for free from Google Play or from the Apple App Store. Again, we'll be back on the first Tuesday of the month talking about marginalized voices with Eleanor Goro, Alison Jong, and Angelina Bong, who are all from East Malaysia. I've been your host, Elaine Foster. Tina has been the judge.
And producer.
And producer. You. Original music by Boy Tasek, a.k.a. Faris Firdaus. This has been Speakeasy on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.